Hello and welcome to the Gospel Points Podcast, where the gospel is the point. I'm your host, Kevin Thompson, and thanks for joining us. It's been such a long time. It's been over a month, almost 2 months since I've put together a podcast, but we've been crazy busy with we had a family conference at school and then the end of the year and also a move from Illinois to Wisconsin. So I am podcasting here from Beloit, Wisconsin, back here in the area. Well, anyway, let's get to we're going to finish up the interview we did with Mark Ward, and the question is about marijuana, and we're going to be looking at his book, Can a Christian Smoke Pot? So that really fits with our poll question for today, and this week's poll question was, should weed be legalized? And the options were yes, absolutely not, only for medicinal use, and just decriminalized. And the winner was yes, with a whopping 60% of the vote. You guys want your weed, apparently. Second place was a tie between absolutely not and only for medicinal use, and no one voted for just decriminalization. And I don't know if that's not such a bad idea. I'm kind of leaning in that direction myself. But anyway, let's get back to what Mark Ward has to say about this topic, about can a Christian smoke pot. So let's get back to our interview with author Mark Ward. Well, we're back with Mark Ward, and we're continuing our conversation from last week about the book, Can I Smoke Pot? So, Mark, welcome back to Gospel Points.
Thanks for having me on, Kevin.
Mark, I want you to just take a moment and expound upon something that you said last week. We're talking about the role of government here, and you mentioned Caesar talking out of both sides of his mouth. Now, every politician speaks out of both sides of his mouth these days, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about basic federalism, in that we have not just a federal government, but state and local governments. You live in a state that has legalized marijuana. I know Massachusetts being the most recent. Here in Illinois, we have medicinal marijuana uses, but I think we're moving closer to recreational. So when you're living in a state that legalizes it, yet we have a federal government, at least under the Obama administration, that says we're going to ignore what is federal law, and we're going to allow the states to do this. But you take the position that no, we still need to obey the federal government, even over our state government. Can you expound upon that a little bit more?
Well, I don't pretend to be an expert in U.S. civics,
sure.
But your question made me think of Alan Gelzo, who is a Christian historian best known for his work on Abraham Lincoln. I just read Abraham Lincoln, Redeemer President, and it was fantastic. But I posted on my blog some time ago, he was asked the question, I want to say he was asked by Al Mohler, who had the better argument in the Civil War? And although he's up in the North and therefore might be held suspect by those living in the South, and I was born practically on the Mason-Dixon line, so I don't really have a dog in this fight, as it were, although my middle name is Lee for a reason. He argued that it's very clear by the time you go through all the arguments, the kind of sovereignty that the Constitution placed in the states is not the same kind of sovereignty, he says, that an independent country has, where a member of an existing state has coming into a federation with others. It's a very different kind of federation than like the European Union, he
right.
says. So he says clearly the Union had the better argument. The idea that you could secede from the Union, Abraham Lincoln successfully combated that idea. Well, I'm getting into the weeds here, but
sure.
The upshot is I would be very suspicious of a Christian who says, hey, I believe in states' rights and my state says I can do this, so forget the federal government.
Right.
And much more importantly than Alan Gelzo, I mean, we were talking about Romans 13 a few minutes ago, I say a week ago. You can edit that out.
Sure.
And the kind of just blatantly, these statements he makes in Romans 13 are so general, it seems to me really hard to wiggle out of.
Right.
Whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. And of course, you ask, you know, what if Caesar speaks out of both sides of his mouth? Well, when Paul is that direct, I don't feel safe doing what either one of the branches of government, let's say the federal level or the state level, tells me I can't do, unless the Bible specifically tells me I must do it.
Right.
That seems to me to be the key point.
Yeah, and, you know, when we look at what our Constitution is and why it is, we can look back at what the role of the state and central government was in the Articles of Confederation as opposed to what they are now. We can see clearly the founders had an idea that what the federal government established has to be the law of the land. And even if Caesar isn't going to enforce it, it's still a law. And, you know, Caesar does a lot of things that I wouldn't agree with. But law is law. So I think you're right in that we are still to obey the law. Even if Caesar doesn't obey the law, we have an obligation to. But that leads me to my next question, and I think it gets into something you're going to mention later in the book. But even if Caesar came down, and let's just say we had a Congress passed a law now, we officially recognize, we have decriminalized marijuana, we feel like, okay, this is going to be legal everywhere now, or at least the federal government's going to take a step back and those states can hash it out themselves. But if I'm reading your book correctly, you would still say, no, marijuana is a different type of substance in and of itself, to where Christians would be better off not using it, even if it were legal. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah. Let me back up for just one second and say that one of the ways a friend of mine pointed this out in an email, I felt like he was right after he read my book, and I wish I had put this in the book. He said one of the ways that the government can effectively repeal a law is by not enforcing it. And so,
yeah.
You know, we may have laws in some random city about women not being able to drive down Main Street. I don't know.
Sure.
That hasn't been enforced for so many decades. It's been totally forgotten, but it's easier to forget it than it is to actually go to the trouble of repealing it. That could happen with marijuana. And in that case, Christians may not be disobeying the government, even if they disobey the law that's formally written in the books. I'm actually open to that possibility, that I have to say in all honesty. However, you're right to bring up that even if the government either stopped enforcing anti-marijuana legislation or laws, or totally decriminalized it, made it as alcohol is today, I would still be opposed to its recreational use, and that on biblical grounds, which is where I think your question is going.
Right. You mentioned in the book that this is most often compared to alcohol. I think mainly because it's really the only thing in Scripture that we can draw a comparison to. And so some of, well, listen, it's even though some Christians have made the decision not to drink, such as yourself, it's still permissible in a moderate form. But marijuana is not that way. This, in my opinion, is what makes the book so worthwhile, is this one point that marijuana isn't a direct correlation to alcohol. There is a difference. And so maybe you could talk a little bit about what that major difference is.
Yeah, a little while ago, I'm not going to pick on your language here, but I want to explore this. You
Sure.
called marijuana a substance, and I know you know that it's more than a substance. It's many substances,
Right.
chemical substances put together. But it's important to recognize that because there is this huge variability in the effects that marijuana can have on someone.
I like the way you just said, and I know you know, trying to give me credit, where credit may not even be due. So I say thank you for the respect there.
Sure. Well, I give the benefit of the doubt. But I can't say I knew this. Maybe I would have guessed it. I'm not a scientist, and I say that in the book. I'm not trying to pronounce on scientific matters. But when you do theology, as John Frame says, you have to apply the biblical and other norms to your situation. So that requires you to read the situation. And I read a huge big book defending marijuana And so I'm getting some of this from a book in defense of recreational use of marijuana. Anyway, it has all these compounds in it, cannabinoids they're called. And in the book, my co-author and I don't deny at all that there may be, and in fact, I think there almost certainly are, some medicinally positive uses of some of these cannabinoids. Do I want to put all of them into my system at once through the method of ingestion we call smoking? Those are specific questions. And when I did my best, you know, I have spent more time? Yes, but I tried to listen to the very best case made. I read a book called Smoke Signals. That was the name of the book, Martin Lee. I did my best to figure out what is the effect of smoking marijuana. And one of the factoids that I kind of held on to was the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration said that in their studies, trying to figure out, you know, what kind of danger does smoking marijuana pose to driving? They said that it takes between 1 and 3 puffs to achieve intoxication, a high. And I saw other Christian writers taking that kind of factoid and pointing out then that although I'm a teetotaler, I do in good conscience, I can't in good conscience forbid all uses of beverage alcohol. And there are people who might hear this and I would actually lose major points with them for saying so. But 1 Timothy 4:4 says we are not permitted. It's a doctrine of devils to forbid, think that God created good. And when God says he created wine to gladden the heart of man, when he says that in Deuteronomy, if you live too far away from Jerusalem, take the offering that you were going to give and instead spend it on a feast, including strong drink, I just can't in good conscience say all alcohol consumption is immoral. But I can in very good conscience say that all drunkenness is immoral, and that's one of the big reasons I'm a teetotaler. And I can say that I do think, although this is something I need to spend more time on, that at the very least, we should not immediately assume that what the Bible calls wine is the same thing we have on our shelves because of the modern distillation process.
Right.
In any case, the Bible is very much explicitly against drunkenness, and my co-author and I asked why. Why is it against that? And the best we could tell, appealing to 1 Corinthians 9 and other passages, it's because of the control that you have. I just read an article on Desiring God, which I felt was really helpful, and the way it put it was, it said, I'll just quote it, as Christians, our goal is knowing and experiencing the full and undistorted reality of the glory of God in our resurrected physical bodies. And he argues that at a celebration, like a wedding, alcohol in moderate amounts can actually give you an undistorted view of your reality because it's a celebratory reality. But we know that alcohol, especially with the modern distillation practices, can give you a very distorted view of reality and cause you to do things that Proverbs describes as if, you know, it's watching people at a bar today. You know, people strike me, and when can I have another drink? And if I'm right, well, I should say if the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is right, that you get a high that quickly, then everybody who's smoking weed is getting a distorted view of reality and thereby losing control and therefore violating scriptural principles drawn from its teaching about alcohol.
Well, there's so much more we could talk about. Our time's running out, but I do want to just hit on this. What most concerns me about marijuana is the reasons why someone would take that. And I understand, and I think this applies to alcohol as well. If you're, we don't believe in an escapism where, okay, I'm having a rough day, and so I just merely want to just get away from it all. And it seems to me there are some in taking this particular drug, I need to. This is how I'm going to fix my life. This is how I'm going to get over whatever I have. I'm going to use this. Is that a scriptural idea? Because we do have King Lemuel receiving information, saying, "Hey, you know, let the poor basically drink their sorrows away.
Right.
Is that a legitimate use, or is that something we need to be very careful of as Christians?
Since we're coming down to the end, I'll just say briefly what we said in the book is that we believe that that passage is a reference to palliative care. If you're in hospice, and if you're undergoing chemotherapy, there's some evidence that there are pain-reducing compounds within marijuana. Whether you ought to be smoking or not is still a really good question. But no, I'm not against the use of created substances for palliative care.
All right. Well, Mark, I want to thank you for joining us. And again, just to kind of wrap things up here, what you're not saying is we need to ban this and completely expunge this from the earth, but we should be reaping the benefits that God intended, and especially in purposes of medicinal usage in a controlled and a controlled environment. But Mark, I want to just thank you here for not just the book here, but I think there's your appendix in the book is really helpful about answering biblical questions. Again, that's worth the price of the book as well. So we're going to wrap things up again with our random question. Mark, are you ready for some randomness?
I'm ready.
Okay, that's not the question. So the question is, you found a new job. You're working at the Yankee Candle Company.
Okay.
Now, being from the South, I don't know if you like the word Yankee or not. Being a Red Sox fan, I hate the word. But you're working with a Yankee Candle Company. You find yourself in the new product line division. So what new scent would you introduce to the Yankee Candle Company if you could had that power to introduce any new smell that's not currently in production?
A pot smoke, I think, right?
That would be a popular one.
Yeah. That is a joke, but does the joking answer get me off the hook for having to answer seriously?
You know what? Because it was creative, I'll let you go with that one.
Good.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll have a link on our blog to your book. And just briefly, we'll tell us a little bit more about your Worldviews book and where we can purchase that.
The Worldview book, you can, I think, get it on Amazon, but the best way to get it is to go to bjupress.com, where they sell not only the student text, but other materials like a student activity manual and a teacher's edition, along with all the answers and tests, all that good stuff that it comes with. Yeah, go to bjupress.com, and I definitely hope people will check it out. It was a major privilege of my life to work on that. And actually, this book, Can I Smoke Pot, grows directly. Is that a good metaphor?
No,
grows
that's,
directly
that's really
out
bad,
of,
but okay.
Out of the work that I did on biblical worldview creation, fall redemption.
All right. Well, thank you, Mark, and thank you all for listening.
All right. Well, that concludes our interview with author Mark Ward. Don't forget to check out his website. We'll have that on our website, which you can find at www.kevinjthompson.info. And don't forget to check us out on Twitter. I failed to mention our Twitter address before, at Kevin J. Thompson, at Kevin J. Thompson. Gospelpoints.org if you want to get to the program quicker. And you want to join us next week. Next week we'll be talking about Star Trek. So if you are a nerd, you're going to nerd out on this. Star Trek from a Christian perspective, from a Christian worldview. You don't want to miss that. Well, until then, have a great rest of your week.